Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. They come to your door. I know what it's like. Sometimes you don't want to answer the door. But there are the Jehovah's Witnesses. They want to talk to you about the end times. They want to talk to you about maybe the Trinity. They want to talk to you about terrorism. The subjects may vary. Why are they there? What are they pushing? Why are they so persistent? Who are the Jehovah's Witnesses, and what is the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society, to which they answer? We'll be answering some of those questions tonight on Issues Etc. It's Sunday night, September the 16th, and this is a live call-in program. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address tonight for your questions and comments as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're giving away the pamphlet called What About Jehovah's Witnesses to everyone who calls in or sends us an email tonight, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Before we introduce our guest and get to our topic, next Sunday night, we're going to be broadcasting Issues Etc. live from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. Joining us at Emmanuel Lutheran is going to be Issues Etc. regular guest, Professor Jeffrey Kloa. Now, everyone is invited to attend this live broadcast. It's from 10 to midnight. There's a question and answer session with refreshments at 9:30, right before the show. For more information on the Issues Etc. Reformation Tour coming to Detroit next Sunday night, September the 23rd, visit our website, issuesetc.org. David Reed is our guest tonight to talk about the beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. He's a former Jehovah's Witness, author of numerous books on the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society, including Answering Jehovah's Witnesses Subject by Subject. David, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Why are the Jehovah's Witnesses so persistent in going door to door?
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses are told by their leaders that this is their primary function. Their name, Jehovah's Witnesses, means witnesses of Jehovah or witnesses of God. And they're told that they are supposed to go from house to house. And if they don't do that, they're really not Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, in addition to that, the organization also expects each active witness to turn in a report each month. And that report consists of how many hours they spent going from door to door, how many magazines they placed, how many books they placed, how many studies they started. And if a Jehovah's Witness fails to turn in these reports, the elders summon them and start questioning them about what's wrong with their spiritual life, why they aren't putting in hours going from house to house. Now, I should say, though, that the average witness really does believe that their own salvation depends on doing this work. They believe that they're saving you when they convert you to their organization, but they believe that their own salvation depends on going out from house to house and doing the work that they're told to do.
Who is the Jesus of the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society? Who do they believe Jesus is?
Well, it can be rather confusing for Christians to listen to Jehovah's Witnesses because they use the same terminology that Christians use in church, but they mean something different by it. When they talk about Jesus, they're talking about the first angel that God created in their minds. They believe that Jesus was created ahead of the other angels, but that he was just a created being, an angel. And they believe Jesus was given the assignment of coming to the earth as a man, dying for our sins, and going back to heaven to be the chief angel again. And they believe that he was given the assignment of ruling as king in God's kingdom for 1,000 years. But at the end of that, he'll just go back to being the chief angel.
You mentioned before it's a salvation of works. So what purpose was Jesus sent, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Well, if you have a discussion with them about salvation, initially it may appear that they believe the same as Christians, because they'll say, yes, Jesus died for our sins. But what they mean by that is that Jesus opened the way for salvation. They don't really believe that Jesus purchased our salvation on the cross. They believe that he opened the way for salvation, and that you can complete that by doing all the works that are assigned to you by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society.
Do they believe, as Christians do, that Jesus is fully God and fully human, the second person of the Trinity?
No, not at all. They believe that Jesus is a God, not God. And they've even changed their Bible in John 1:1 to say that the Word was a God with a small g. And by that, they don't really mean divinity at all. They just mean a godlike one, an angel, that Jesus was a created being and was not from eternity.
That's one of the trickiest things, I think, people, when they're first introduced or are introduced to the Jehovah's Witnesses, is this issue of Holy Scripture and the Bible. Do they have the same Bible translation that would be standard among Christians?
Well, they used to. Jehovah's Witnesses used to go from door to door carrying the King James Version, and after that they carried the American Standard Version for a number of years. But then in the 1960s they came out with their own translation, the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. And it appears initially, if you start reading it, to be just an ordinary modern English translation. But there are a few hundred verses that they've changed to agree with Watchtower doctrines. One of the verses is the one I just mentioned, where John 1:1, instead of saying the Word was God, their translation says the Word was a God with a small g. Another one is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where most Bibles say that the Spirit of God was moving to and fro over the waters during the creation of the earth. But the Jehovah's Witnesses New World Translation says God's active force was moving to and fro over the surface of the waters. So they've taken out the Holy Spirit, replaced it with an active force, and they've taken out the deity of Christ and put in a God.
How do they regard even their own version of the Bible? Is it the final authority for the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Well, this is where some double talk and double think comes in. Jehovah's Witnesses would answer yes, that the Bible is their final authority. They would agree to Scripture alone as a basis for belief. But in actual practice, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that they have to rely on the teachings and publications of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society in order to understand the Bible correctly. They don't believe that someone who just picks up the Bible can find salvation by reading it. They believe you need the Watchtower literature to explain the Bible correctly. So ultimately, the final authority for Jehovah's Witnesses is the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society and its publications. And they actually believe that the Watchtower is God's channel of communication. They use that terminology, that it's God's channel of communication, God's representative on the planet Earth.
With about a minute and a half before we go to this break, why did you get out?
Well, I started reading the Bible. My wife and I together wanted to be better Jehovah's Witnesses, and we began reading the Bible for that purpose. It so happened that we read the Living Bible because it used the name Jehovah in various places in the Old Testament, and we felt comfortable with that. We thought it might be useful to witness to other people using a Bible they were more familiar with. But reading the Bible itself, we actually saw the gospel message. We found Jesus, and Jesus led us out of the Watchtower organization.
We're talking with David Reed tonight on Issues Etc. It's Sunday night, September the 16th. We're coming to you live. We invite your questions and your comments on Jehovah's Witnesses, their beliefs, their practices. Perhaps you've been stymied by some of their arguments. We want to hear those as well. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. You can also email us with your questions and comments right here in the studio for our guest, David Reed, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, members of the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society who call in tonight with their comments or questions will get top priority, 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. David Reed is our guest. He's a former Jehovah's Witness, author of numerous books on the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society, including Answering Jehovah's Witnesses, Subject by Subject, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back, given what David's told us so far about the Jehovah's Witnesses, it's difficult to try and fit some of their teachings within the boundaries of Orthodox Christian theology. So let's go to the Trinity when we come back. Who is this Jehovah that they call upon as God, if Jesus is not, in fact, the second person of the Trinity, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, and the Holy Spirit is a divine force and not a person? It sounds like they're not going to buy into the Trinity. What other problems does that lead to? And if Jesus is here simply to open the way for you and I to save ourselves by works, that's a very different event at the cross. Of course, they don't believe in a cross either. We'll get to that after this.
Is there a relationship between creation and salvation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is God Made It For You. It's a children's book on the creation story. For more information, find the cover of God Made It For You on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. God Made It For You is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. God made it for you.
Authentic Christianity and the Institutional Church. Time for a change? This is the theme of the 18th Annual Theological Symposium at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The symposium is open for both lay people and professional church workers. How can the church survive a post-denominational era? You'll find answers at the annual symposium September 18th and 19th on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. For more information, call 314-505-7123 or visit www.csl.edu.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the primary message and major theme of God's Word? The answer comes from Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
The storyline of the Bible from beginning to end is the story of God's plan of salvation. The message of that which the holiness and righteousness of the just God demands, and the way that God has, in His grace, in His undeserved love, met the demands of that law in the person of His Son. Certainly everything else that's in Scripture is important, but everything else ties into and relates to and must be seen from the perspective of that basic primary theme, law and gospel, with the gospel as the fundamental focus of it all.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Folks, here's what Tony in New Jersey had to say recently about Issues Etc. He wrote, "May the Lord richly bless your outreach. It's probably the most vital and important radio outreach in our time. Issues Etc. is dealing with the real issues that people are struggling with and giving them a reason for the hope that lies within us, yet with gentleness and respect." Thanks a lot, Tony. I appreciate those kind words about the program. Issues Etc. is a partnership. We need your help to defend the faith and teach the truth of Christianity around the world. Now, one way you can do that is by joining our monthly or annual donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Membership benefits include premiums like monthly CDs, books, transcripts. For more information, look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Now, you can join online right there at the homepage, issuesetc.org. You can call our automated resource line. The number is 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can join by check. Just write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We're talking with David Reed tonight about the beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay, we've talked about the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society. How was it formed? Where did it come from?
Well, Charles Taze Russell was the founder of the organization. He grew up as a young man during the Civil War in the 1860s. And in 1868, he was a member of an Adventist church. At that time, he was assistant editor of an Adventist magazine called Herald of the Morning, and he had an argument with the editor of the magazine and didn't accept some of his new teachings, and Russell took the mailing list of the Herald of the Morning and started his own magazine, which he called Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence. And he started this, which ended up becoming the Watchtower magazine, in 1879, and began writing books on his own and developing his own following. The group didn't actually take on the name Jehovah's Witnesses until the 1940s, when it was being run by Russell's successor, Judge Rutherford. But that's, in a nutshell, the history of Jehovah's Witnesses.
So how did it get to the point where essentially a publishing house, the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society, and a group of individuals whose names remain largely unknown are able to, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, dictate to each and every Jehovah's Witness in the world what they are to believe that week, that month?
Well, the followers of Charles Taze Russell saw him as a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Jesus' parable about the faithful and discreet slave or the faithful and wise servant, Russell was viewed as being that servant, and he himself promoted that view, so that the followers of Charles Taze Russell personally viewed him as God's representative on the earth until the time of his death, around 1918. And after that, the mantle fell on the organization itself, and his successors in running the Watchtower and publishing the books claimed that they were God's faithful and discreet slave or faithful and wise servant. And so this is probably the most important doctrine of Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, people will often try to discuss with them issues involving theology or eschatology or other issues involving Scripture, but their chief doctrine is that the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is God's channel of communication, God's representative on earth. And all the other doctrines really depend on that. They may pull out some scriptures to say, this is why I believe in this doctrine, or this is why I believe in that doctrine. But the real reason why Jehovah's Witnesses believe everything they believe is because they believe that the Watchtower organization is God's spokesman. And so whatever the Watchtower says has to be the truth in their minds.
Has that so-called revelation from God through the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society been consistent? Has it been has it had a uniform theological direction, or have doctrines changed over the years?
Well, it has not been consistent, and in fact, this is a key to witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses. You can go back and forth with them on biblical topics, and sometimes get somewhere, and sometimes not. It often degenerates into what you call Bible ping pong, where you bring up a verse and they bring up a verse and it just goes on forever. But if you can show Jehovah's Witnesses the history of their organization, you can often begin to open a crack in their thinking so that they can let some light in. The history of the organization is that Charles Taze Russell began the organization with a Trinitarian co-editor of the Watchtower. Very quickly he got rid of him and began teaching anti-Trinitarian doctrine in the Watchtower. Then when Russell died and his successor, Judge Rutherford, took over in 1918-1919, very quickly Rutherford began reversing some of Russell's teachings and teaching exactly the opposite of what Russell taught on things such as the Great Pyramid of Egypt and God's presence on the star Alcyon and the Pleiades constellation and things like that. And Rutherford just totally reversed Russell's teachings. And down through history, the Watchtower has changed its teachings a number of times on many topics. And one of the most interesting types of changes that they've gone through is when they've rejected the teaching, labeled it as false, accepted a new teaching, and then gone back to the old teaching after a number of years. Witnesses tend to excuse the changes in teaching by saying that the light gets brighter, and they actually view that as an evidence of God's backing of their organization, because they say, well, you know, the Protestant churches teach the same things that they've been teaching since the Reformation, but we have new truths, and that shows that God is dealing with us. We're getting a brighter light all the time. But if you actually show Jehovah's Witnesses how some of their so-called new truths are things that they rejected in the past as error and went back to again, you can show them the light is not getting brighter. It's actually blinking on and off.
They meet every Sunday in the Kingdom Hall, as they call it. What happens with Jehovah's Witnesses on Sunday morning in the Kingdom Hall with only a minute before we go to this break?
They typically have two meetings on Sunday morning. Each one lasts an hour, roughly. They have a public talk, which is a sermon or a lecture that's aimed at people in the public to try to bring them into the Jehovah's Witness way of thinking. And that's followed by another hour of the Watchtower study, where they go paragraph by paragraph through an article in the Watchtower magazine. They answer questions at the bottom of the page, and they try to answer in their own words, but only in the thoughts of the Watchtower, not in their own thoughts.
So in other words, the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society's publications on any given Sunday morning in the Kingdom Hall is really, this is the opportunity at which they are communicated to what they are to believe, what they are to carry out into the community that very week, strictly from the publications of the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society.
Yes, that's the main instrument of teaching, is that they get new articles and they study those articles, they read them, they go over them paragraph by paragraph, they have them read again, and that's very repetitively rehearsed into their minds as to what the teaching should be.
David Reed is our guest, a former Jehovah's Witness, author of numerous books on the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society, including Answering Jehovah's Witnesses Subject by Subject. Your phone calls and your email on the other side of this break. We do have some resources, by the way, on the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society posted under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Our call-in numbers, we want to hear from you during this break, and this is a good time to call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. So now you have a better idea when you meet the Jehovah's Witness at the door where he's coming from, literally where he's coming from. He might be coming from that Sunday morning at the Kingdom Hall, having memorized the very magazine he wants to put into your hands. He knows what he's talking about. You should too. We'll be right back with David Reed. What kind of international relief projects can you and your congregation help support? Here's Pastor John Folley of LCMS World Relief.
We've got some significant projects that continue to go on internationally in Indonesia and in Kenya. Specifically in Kenya, as we've been sending out these Mercy medical teams, providing opportunities for congregations and individuals to adopt orphans and to build orphanages and clinics to provide clean water. A lot of things that we're doing internationally with our partner churches, with World Mission, connecting our works of mercy with proclamation of the gospel.
LCMS World Relief, 1-888-930-4438.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. has its supporters.
I just want to say that I really like your show. It's really helped me. I'm currently in my preparation to enter Concordia Seminary, and this show, I think, has really helped me with my progress. So I just want to say thanks and keep it up.
We also have our share of detractors.
This message that you're sending out is not the message that God wants the people to hear. You don't have a clue as to what he wants. You are all sinners, and you shall rot for eternity for this. You people are insane. Just burn in hell.
That's exactly why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Agree or disagree with something you've heard? Call the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. The Issues Etc. listener comment line, available for your comments, positive and negative, 24/7, 314-505-7825.
Noted author and Christian apologist Craig Hawkins on why you should support Issues Etc.
It's my pleasure to recommend to you Issues, Etc. It's one of the few programs discussing crucial concerns for Christians. It's done in a dynamic format, again, discussing crucial issues, and in an insightful manner. The program is very much needed. In my opinion, it's one of the most important broadcasts on the air, and it's one of my favorites. So if you want to grow in your faith, know what you believe and why, then this program is for you. I want to encourage you to listen, and I want to encourage you to support the broadcast, both prayerfully and financially.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line. That number is 1-800-737-0172.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues, Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues, Etc.
Well, with all the debate around creation nowadays, I think something gets lost in the shuffle. It's that the story of creation in the Bible is really simply a part of the story of salvation in Jesus Christ that's presented as the heart and center message of the Bible. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for September is titled God Made It For You, The Creation Story. You can order this illustrated children's book by calling Concordia Publishing House, their number 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Now, you can look for the cover of God Made It For You at our homepage, issuesetc.org. God Made It For You by Pastor Charles Lehman, the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September. David Reed is our guest. We're talking about the beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. Before we go to the phones, does the average Jehovah's Witness who comes to the door, David, know the Bible well?
Well, that's an interesting question. Jehovah's Witnesses appear to know the Bible because they can flip back and forth in their Bible and bring up this scripture and that scripture in defense of their arguments. But I would have to say that Jehovah's Witnesses know certain texts in the Bible rather than the Bible itself. They don't know the gospel message. They haven't grasped the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And the reason that they can know so many verses in the Bible and not really know the Bible is that their organization takes them on a guided tour through Scripture. Jehovah's Witnesses have a sign on the side of their building in their headquarters in Brooklyn, New York, that says, "Read God's Word, the Bible, daily." But I know from having been a Jehovah's Witness elder for 8 years that the average Jehovah's Witness never sits down and reads the Bible from cover to cover. Instead, they read various Watchtower publications that quote or cite Scripture, and they become familiar with Scripture in that way, and they learn to find those particular verses in their Bible. But they don't really know the Bible. They just know the proof texts that the organization has given them and trained them to use to answer certain questions.
Listening on WRRD in Franklinsville, Wisconsin, Bill, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, hi, David. Thank you for your work. See, I'm wondering, when they talk of us changing our Bible and we say, well, no, they changed their Bible, where can we go to original manuscripts to show that they did change their Bible?
It's a good question. Thank you, Bill. David.
Well, one of the first things you would do, of course, is look at Bibles that have been published down through the centuries and compare the Watchtower's Bible with them, and you can see that they have departed from the standard translation. You could take 10 or 20 translations that have been produced by many other people that say that the Word was God, and you'll find just Jehovah's Witnesses and
one or two very minority, odd publications that might agree with them in saying that the word was a god. Another thing you can do is look at the changes that they've made in their translation since it first came out. The New World Translation has been around since the 1950s and 60s, and over that time, they've continued to do what they originally set out to do, which is to change certain key verses to fit the Watchtower doctrines. And you can actually pick up some older versions and show how they've continued to refine that process. For example, if you take their Kingdom Interlinear Translation and look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, you can see where the interlinear shows that it mentions the Godship dwelling in Christ, and they've taken that word out in the later versions of the Kingdom Interlinear Translation and just put divinity in there. Also in Hebrews, where it talks about the angels worshiping Jesus, they actually use the word worship in their earlier versions, and in later versions in the New World Translation, they took the word worship out and changed it to the angels doing obeisance to Jesus. So they've continued to refine their Bible to get it to teach what the Watchtower wants to teach, and it's pretty easy to document that.
So you can actually, in essence, if you have enough copies or versions, successive versions of their translation of the Bible, you can actually track the teachings in certain passages by the changes that they've made. That's what you're saying?
Yes, really. And you can do this throughout their publications. Everything in the Watchtower organization reflects a gradual putting down of Jesus Christ and elevating of the organization. They used to, in the early hymnals that they produced, they had many hymns to Jesus, and they were embarrassed by that when they began to lower Jesus' position to that of an angel. And they successively, in different issues of their hymnals, took out hymns to Jesus. And there's actually a place in the Watchtower publications where they brag about the fact that they reduced the number of mentions of Jesus in their hymns, or songs as they call them. So it's been a conscious effort on the part of the organization to lower the position of Jesus and take out any reference to his deity.
Dennis is up next, listening in Franklin Park, Illinois on WYLL. Thanks for waiting, Dennis.
You're welcome. Well, the first verse that comes to mind, I know I need to memorize a lot more. I got a lot of foundation behind me, though. But, you know, the one that's most quoted is even at football games and so forth and so on. One of the most well-known, I guess you would say, is John 3:16. I just wondered if your guest could comment on if we would, you know, approach and really know and understand and be able to explain to a Jehovah's Witness who comes to visit you John 3:16 from the Holy Spirit working through you and convicting you with power and zeal and letting them know that you know and are convicted that John 3:16 is the truth and that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the only way who believes in him is the only way to salvation, if that would be an effective way to handle a Jehovah's Witness visitor.
Dennis, thank you very much. What would they make of John 3:16 as it reads in most Christian Bibles?
Well, they would agree with it, because in the New World Translation of the Bible, which the Jehovah's Witnesses publish themselves, I'm looking at it right now, and John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, in order that everyone exercising faith in him might not be destroyed, but have everlasting life." So that's very close to what it would read in most other translations. The only problem is that Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that this is sufficient. They believe that their works in obedience to the Watchtower organization are required along with belief in Jesus Christ. And as we mentioned earlier, the Jesus Christ that they're talking about is not really the same Jesus Christ that the Bible speaks of. They're talking about an angel who came on a temporary assignment, and we're talking about the eternal Son of God. So it is certainly something that you can talk to a Jehovah's Witness about. And one of the most effective things to talk to a Jehovah's Witness about is your own experience with Jesus, what Jesus has done for you, your own personal testimony, because they can't argue with that. You know, they can argue with your interpretation of a Bible verse, but when you give them your testimony, this is something that's very powerful. And if you have experienced what John 3:16 says personally, and you tell that to a Jehovah's Witness, the witness has difficulty there because the witnesses don't personally experience God. They don't personally have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so their religious experience consists of studying books and materials provided by the Watchtower Society. It's a very dry religion. It's a matter of studying certain information and then going door to door and repeating that information. But they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So that certainly is a way to approach it, is to talk about John 3:16 and your own personal testimony.
Let's take a quick phone call here before our break, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Martin in Detroit, listening on WDTK.
Yes, I'd like to know if the article titles for the Watchtower and Awake magazine that covers social issues are a reflection of Pastor Russell's fourth volume and the studies in the scriptures, where he has hundreds of pages of heavy social criticism.
Good question, Martin. You got about a minute to begin a response here, David.
I'd say that Russell's views on these matters are quite out of date as far as Jehovah's Witnesses are concerned. Most Jehovah's Witnesses have never read Russell's writings, and the organization under his successor, Judge Rutherford, came to take quite a different position on a lot of these social issues, such as Zionism and salvation for Jews and matters like that. Rutherford took the organization in a whole different direction during World War II, and since then the Jehovah's Witnesses have transformed again into something else. So I would say that Russell's views don't really have too much relevance to the witnesses today, except for the usefulness in documenting what the organization formerly taught.
We're talking about the beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. David Reed, a former Jehovah's Witness, an author of numerous books on the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society, including Answering Jehovah's Witnesses Subject by Subject, is our guest. Issues Etc. is underwritten in part by Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Now, if you've ever considered becoming a pastor or a deaconess, why not pay these seminaries a visit this fall? They're inviting everyone who's interested to come on campus and do so. For more information, look for their logos at our homepage, issuesetc.org, preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. When we come back from this break, we'll answer your phone calls. We still have plenty of time for your phone calls and for your email, 1-800-730-2727. Or issuesetc@kfuo.org. So why don't the Jehovah's Witnesses celebrate Christmas? Why do they consider that idolatry? Do they still refuse blood transfusions when needed? And why don't fellowship halls, the kingdom halls, have windows? Have you ever noticed that? When we come back, we'll answer those questions and others and take your phone calls with David Reed. Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana invites you to join Issues Etc. regular guest Arthur Just, Larry Rast, and Carl Schalk for the Good Shepherd Institute, November 4th through the 6th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. This annual conference equips laypeople, musicians, and pastors to better serve their congregations through music and the Word. For more information on the Good Shepherd Institute, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2256.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours weekdays on the Internet? Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen Online, and you'll find 12 new hours Monday through Friday. You can listen live on your PC, or on demand, or on your iPod or MP3 player. issuesetc.org, and tune in weekdays to 12 new hours of Issues Etc.
Equipping the Priesthood of All Believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, joined by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Reed Lessing. Dr. Lessing, who should consider the office of the ministry?
The man who has a deep love for Jesus and his church, a man who enjoys working with people, a man who wants to shepherd people and assist them in understanding the gospel, the Christian message of Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of all people's sins, that man should consider the pastoral ministry because he has gifts and abilities and a sense of what ministry can and should be.
You can find out more about training for the pastoral ministry. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for information on Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne. issuesetc.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to be broadcasting live from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. I really do want to meet some of our Detroit area listeners there at our live broadcast. Our topic next week, how we got the New Testament. Our guest, Professor Jeffrey Kloa of Concordia Seminary, is the New Testament a product of third century church politics? Was it censored by the Council of Nicaea? Should the Gnostic Gospels, Gospels of Thomas and others, be included in the Bible? Is the New Testament reliable? We'll talk about all of that next week on Issues Etc. with Professor Jeffrey Kloa. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing throughout the fall, just click the upcoming show section of our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there at the homepage, be sure to find out about an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. You can find their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or donate by giving them a call, 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438, a Christ-centered, cross-focused relief agency, Pastor Matt Harrison, and LCMS World Relief. We're talking about the beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. David Reed is our guest. David, a listener from Minneapolis, called, and he wanted to know, why don't Kingdom Halls have windows? I'd never noticed that.
Well, it's an interesting question. Some people who hear the question may be puzzled because they may have a Kingdom Hall in their community that does have windows. So you can't really say that Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Halls don't have windows. But there was a period of time when new Kingdom Halls that were being constructed didn't have windows. And this appeared to be a product of the fact that volunteer labor was used and the organization was trying to save money as much as possible. And, of course, it's much cheaper to put up a straight flat wall without windows. There were also a number of Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Halls that were built in high crime areas, and windows were just a point of entry for thieves, and so they were advised not to put windows in their buildings. But this appears to have been just a temporary injunction that came from Watchtower headquarters and was faithfully followed by Jehovah's Witness construction organizations locally, but it's not a permanent or universal feature, and you will, in fact, find many Kingdom Halls that do have windows.
Why don't the Jehovah's Witnesses celebrate Christmas?
Well, as a matter of fact, they used to celebrate Christmas. If you look at the Watchtower publications, you'll find down through history there was a period of time when they encouraged giving their publications as Christmas gifts. In the early 1900s, the Watchtower actually encouraged Jehovah's Witnesses to celebrate Christmas. For example, the December 1st, 1904 Watchtower on page 3468 told them not to quibble about the date and to go ahead and join with others in celebrating Christmas. This was under the teaching of Charles Taze Russell, the founder of the organization. This was reversed by his successor, Judge Rutherford, and Rutherford denounced the teaching of Christmas. And this has been followed ever since by the Watchtower leaders. And so you'll find in the 1979, December 15th, the Watchtower on page 5, it says, Jesus was not born on December 25th, hence celebrating his birthday through Christmas observance on December 25th is totally inappropriate for those guided by the Holy Scriptures. And they went on in the 1983 Watchtower, again December 15th on page 7, to say we all need to face up to the fact that Christmas and its music are not from Jehovah, the God of truth. Then what is their source? Satan the devil. So the witnesses have been taught that Christmas is of the devil, and it's something forbidden to them.
Do they still refuse blood transfusions? And if so, why, David?
Well, it's important to look at the history of the Watchtower in this regard. During their early years under Judge Rutherford, they were encouraged not to receive vaccinations. And this was a time when smallpox vaccination was universal in the United States, and there were witnesses who actually suffered for refusing smallpox vaccinations when they were part of organizations where these vaccinations were required. They were teaching in the Watchtower publications then that vaccination was a violation of God's law. They also began teaching later, by the way, they dropped that teaching now. Jehovah's Witnesses do get vaccinated now. They began teaching in the 1940s during World War II that receiving a blood transfusion was a violation of God's law. And this was just something that was made up by the organization. They pulled a couple of scriptures from the Jewish dietary laws about not eating blood and used those as the basis for this teaching. They've also come out with other medical teachings. During the 1960s, there was a period when they taught that you should not have an organ transplant. And there were Jehovah's Witnesses who died refusing organ transplants. I knew a Jehovah's Witness elder who, a member in his congregation, refused a cornea transplant because the Watchtower told them to, and that individual went blind. And then in the late 1960s, the Watchtower reversed itself again and said it's okay to receive organ transplants. Now, on this teaching of blood transfusions, Jehovah's Witnesses are a little more cautious today than they used to be about refusing them. They try to take the blame off the organization and place it on personal belief, but it is actually a decree that comes down from Watchtower headquarters telling them not to take blood. The reason they've become a little coy about it is because they've run into some European governments that are looking at them as a cult, a deadly cult, by telling people not to take transfusions. There have been a number of legal cases where witnesses have pulled their children out of hospitals so that the child couldn't receive a transfusion, and then the government has gone ahead and taken custody of the child so that it could receive the transfusion. But Jehovah's Witnesses do today still refuse blood transfusions, and many Jehovah's Witnesses die every year as a direct result of that.
Do they believe in heaven and hell? With about a minute before we have to end this first hour.
Well, they don't believe in consciousness after death. They believe that the wicked are just totally put out of existence, and the righteous also go out of existence at death until they're resurrected. They believe that a small number do go to heaven, 144,000, but they believe that that number was filled up back in the year 1935, and that even Jehovah's Witnesses, the millions of them today, look forward to being resurrected to life on the earth.
Here's our mailing address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number. It's 1-800-737-0172. And here's our website address, issuesetc.org. Now, you can use any of those to receive a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues Etc. journal, or to join our monthly or annual donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. The address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or our website address, issuesetc.org. That's a pretty sad commentary, isn't it, to think that of the millions of Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe only 144,000 really rate. And that number's already filled up, your chances are slim to none of receiving the fullness of salvation, if you can call it salvation, because if you're really working it off on your own, Jesus simply came to open the way for you to work off your own salvation with Jehovah. then what kind of assurance do you have? Now, you may or may not be familiar with those passages in the Bible that read, "Be ye perfect," where the God who reveals himself in Holy Scripture demands from those who would obey his law perfect obedience. He does not grade on a curve. That's quite clear. He wants perfect obedience to his law. So if you're going to work it off, you have to be perfect. Otherwise, you have no assurance at all and no salvation at all. If Jesus has come simply to make it possible for you to work off your debt with God, and that God demands perfection, then you don't have a chance. I certainly don't have a chance. But that God who reveals himself in Scripture sent Jesus for a greater purpose than simply to open the way for you to work off your salvation. That wouldn't have given us any hope or any salvation at all. That wouldn't be a Savior. He sent that Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully human, into our human flesh to bear our sins, to give his life as a ransom for many, as he said it, but for the sins of the whole world, his perfect life as a substitute for my and your imperfect life. So that what we have in Jesus Christ isn't just an opportunity to save ourselves. No. That would be no salvation at all. What we have in Jesus Christ is salvation itself. His life laid down in the place of ours, and he gives to us everything that is his. His perfection, by the way, his perfect obedience and his righteousness become ours as he bears our sins and rises from the dead. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.